SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday live right here on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Today is August 1st, 2024. Today, a football game will be played. The National Football League preseason kicks off tonight in Canton, Ohio. It's the Hall of Fame game between the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. Sure, we're not going to see Caleb Williams or the reigning offensive rookie of the year for the Texans in C.J. Stroud. We're not going to see many starters at all, but football is officially back. And on this first day of August, to welcome in a new month, college football will be played this month as well. Football is here, DRS. And we'll go around the Olympics as well from a Wednesday of action, setting up this slate on a Thursday. Major League Baseball rolls on. Now, Donnie Wrightside, give us your excitement level for football.
August 24th, college football. Today is August 1st. That's 3 weeks away, and we are going to be ready for that impact as well as tonight. Devin Hester and the boys say, Donnie, why'd you bring up Devin Hester tonight? Yeah, I get the Chicago Bears are playing. He's actually going to see some returns from a Chicago Bear. Sensational stuff to try to watch tonight, and we do have an unbelievable poll today where we're fading the public to see how much football, people, are you actually going to watch tonight? Because I'm going to give you a little teaser here. Ooh, I'm excited. I don't know how long I'm going to be excited for, Ben.
I get that, Donnie Wrightside. I really do. The significance of this exhibition game, despite the stature of it in Canton, Ohio, at the site of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, is not much. An exhibition matchup between Chicago and Houston, and still both teams will have what all 30 other NFL clubs do, three more preseason games remaining. But it is football. It is significant to the players trying to earn a roster spot in these games. And tonight, the main focus will be on the opening kick, not just to welcome a new football year, but the new kickoff rules in the National Football League. Plenty more around the Hall of Fame game. A full breakdown and preview coming up later in the show. But let's start with Olympic action on a Wednesday. Game number two for Team USA men's basketball in the Paris Olympic Games against a team in South Sudan that gave the Americans a very large run for their money during that five-game exhibition tune-up series. In that fourth of five games in London, it was South Sudan with a couple of chances at the buzzer trying to pull off the upset over Team USA. The Americans did win 101-100, but came nowhere close to covering as a 40-plus point favorite. Yesterday, the United States taking South Sudan much more seriously, and it was a tighter game. 103-86. South Sudan covers as a 28.5-point underdog despite a flurry of points at the end of the contest in the fourth quarter. A total of 191 and a hook stays under. So the Americans remain unbeaten. They have won each game by more than 15 points, but South Sudan does easily cover as that 28.5-point dog.
Yeah, they did. And the one thing I wanted to see from Team USA was to get out to a quick start at the end of the first quarter, 26-14, won the second quarter by 7 more points. That's what I wanted to see. The U.S. just coasted to a victory here and a comfortable one at that. You saw Jason Tatum get in the game, 17 minutes, but only 4 points in that game. His total that you were looking for is around that 10 mark. We had Carlin Gay on yesterday that said, don't buy into any of those Jason Tatum statistics. And he was correct. Only 4 points in that effort yesterday, but an easy win for Team USA and an expected easy win for Team USA.
Jason Tatum got the start after missing all 40 minutes of the opener against Team Serbia. As DRS mentioned, only 4 points. It was Joel Embiid, who did not play yesterday for the Americans. Everybody else on the roster at least recorded a couple of minutes. And it wasn't really the starting five But the bench rotation, led by Kevin Durant, he had 14 points, and Bam Adebayo, a team-high 18 for Team USA. Plenty more from the second game of the Olympics for the United States men's basketball team in just a few minutes. Yesterday in the pool, a historic night in Paris. The young Frenchman, Léon Marchand, making history, but we start with the greatest of all time, one of the greatest United States Olympians that has ever lived as a female in the pool. Katie Ledecky earns her 12th Olympic medal, her 8th Olympic gold, as she blows away the field, as she often does, in the 1500-meter freestyle final, setting a new Olympic record, 15:30.02. DRS for Ledecky, her dominance in the 1500 is otherworldly. All 20 of the fastest times in recorded history in this event are owned now by Katie Ledecky.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And I saw that yesterday. And you have to go over, like, how that concept can actually go through. It's not as if we talked about, you know, you got the number one spot, you have the number five spot, you have the number 13 spot. The top 20 is her. That shows how dominant she has been. That is absolutely a freak of nature to do that. But one thing I do like about the Olympics is the hometown crowd, man. And the Kings of Leon yesterday were dominant out there. Phenomenal. I mean, I watched both of those races that he had. Absolutely sensational. Yeah. The closing speed, and to do it with all that pressure on your shoulder, that's pretty cool stuff, man. And that place was rocking when he won those gold medals.
An utterly chaotic and exciting comeback in the 200-meter butterfly. Yep. Léon Marchand, his first gold medal of the night. He won two gold medals as well in the 200-meter breaststroke, becoming the first individual swimmer to win golds in an individual event in the same night since 1976. More from the Olympiad in just a little bit. Now Major League Baseball, a full slate on a Wednesday that featured a ton of day baseball. A great week for New York. In Philadelphia, the Yankees go to the bank and take all three, booked as an underdog in all three, sweeping the Phillies. The Phils continue to struggle since the All-Star break. The Yankees continue to win. 5 consecutive victories, all 6 runs recorded off the bat of DJ LeMahieu, who got it started with a grand salami in the second for the Pinstripes.
Yeah, the Phillies have to wake up at the plate here. Bryce Harper's in one of the worst streaks of his career right now, going in the opposite direction. You just watch him play. 92, 93 mile-an-hour fastballs from Cortez getting by him. He usually deposits those in the upper deck. They'll get it together. It's one of those swoons they're having. It's hard to play good baseball when just about every single player, which includes your starting pitchers and bullpen, are ice cold all at the same time. You're going to lose.
Yeah, they are. They are just 3-9 since the All-Star break. We fly around Major League Baseball now. Yesterday, Southern California contest in San Diego between the Padres and the Dodgers. San Diego has now taken both of the two games in this series so far. The Padres have won 9 of their last 10, an 8-1 victory, roughing up Clayton Kershaw early and often.
Yeah, got a pretty good price yesterday, around -120. We were handicapping it yesterday on the early line. It was my favorite side of the day. 8-1 victory. Cease has been really, really good for the Padres. And having said that, the Padres have been really, really good as of late.
Dylan Cease, sensational. Again, we'll talk about his stretch over the last month. The Kansas City Royals beat the Chicago White Sox yesterday. It was expected. KC was nearly a $2 favorite on the road in Chicago. 10-3, the final score. But the big thing here, the White Sox have now lost 17 consecutive games, extending their franchise-long losing skid.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going to end. We said yesterday this game was going to be an absolute destruction. I sort of got a laugh at it, 3-3 after the second inning. Go, look at this. Underdog's going to come back and play. Wasn't the case. The Royals put up a 10 spot here. They should have blown the White Sox out, and they did.
Our guy Vinny Pasquantino, a homer in 3 RBIs yesterday. Speaking of the long ball, Jackson Holliday called back up by Baltimore this week. His first MLB career home run, a grand slam for the Orioles yesterday as they blow out the Blue Jays 10-4.
As Madonna once said, Holiday, it could be so nice. There you go.
That was good, DRS. That was very, very good. I'm not feeling great this morning, and you even got me dancing. Jarrett Allen signs a 3-year, $91 million extension to remain in Cleveland. More basketball, but in the Olympic Games up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Olympic basketball coverage live right here on a Thursday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. Football is back today. We'll get to some football breaking news at the end of this segment. But Donnie, we start with game number two for the United States men's national team in basketball on the hardwood yesterday against South Sudan. Of course, the Americans had this game circled, and everybody probably paying closer attention to it than we would have maybe 2.5 weeks ago after South Sudan in the exhibition lead-up to these Olympic Games gave the Americans a test in that exhibition matchup. 101-100, the United States survived. This is the score from yesterday that we'll get to in just a moment. But because of that, Steve Kerr and Team USA said, listen, we are going into this game with the appropriate amount of respect for the South Sudanese. And yesterday, with just a 28.5-point spread that was working consistently against the Americans all week long, it opened at 31.5, 32. It was more than a 40-point spread for that exhibition matchup in London a few weeks back. South Sudan does cover. 103-86. The United States victorious, a perfect 2-0 in Group C action, a 17-point win. The Americans handled their business, but South Sudan earning some respect on this international stage.
Oh, sure. Looking good out there, 1-1 in competition. You certainly didn't expect to upset Team USA. You got close to it in the friendly game, but now when you see the competition ramp up, Team USA really dispatched of them quickly, just rode that second half out. Because also you're taking a look at the Olympics, you want to get a lot of guys involved. You certainly want to get that flow. And then when you head into the knockout stages, you probably know exactly who you're going to play and at what times. But the thing I did like is LeBron James, 12 points. Devin Booker, 10 points. Durant, 14 points. Adebayo, 18 points. Edwards, 13 points. White, 10 points. Boy, you love to see that because, yes, you would like to have easy wins, and LeBron James has 33 points, but I think it's great that you're getting a lot of guys playing around that 15 to 20-minute range, but also being contributors, and that's going to bode well because when you look to a guy in a game consistently and he's not there, oh, no, who's going to step up? There's plenty of superstars on this team. Everybody can step up at the right time, and you saw that yesterday. Joel Embiid did sit this game out. I don't know if it's because of his knees, because he just didn't fit in against the South Sudan team. Who knows what it is, but kind of interesting that Tatum sits out one game, Embiid sits out another. But again, it really didn't matter when it was all said and done. But I do like the camaraderie of this team where a lot of different guys are getting play, scoring double digits. That's good to see.
We played the clip from Steve Kerr kind of explaining his rationale, if you want to call it that, for why Tatum did not see a minute in the opener against Serbia. It was kind of the storyline that overshadowed an impressive and dominant 26-point opening performance and that victory for the United States over Nikola Jokic and the Serbians. Steve Kerr called himself an idiot for not doing that, but also mentioned only being able to play 10 guys in these highly competitive international games. It was actually a closer game yesterday against South Sudan, at least by the final score. And Steve Kerr played 11 guys, just not Joel Embiid. I'm not exactly sure how these rotations are playing out, but again, Tatum was a big storyline, almost comically, after the opening game on Sunday, despite that 26-point victory and the United States easily covering as a 13.5-point favorite against Serbia. He got the start. He only had 4 points. He was 2 of 4 from the field, had 5 boards, played 17 minutes. In fact, the entire starting lineup wasn't great yesterday. LeBron James in double figures. Devin Booker in double figures. Those were the only two guys in the starting five that scored in double digits. The other four of the 6 Americans that reached double figures yesterday off the bench, led by a team-high 18 points from Bam Adebayo and Kevin Durant. 14 points as well. The easy money sniper who has scored the most points in U.S. men's basketball Olympic history continues to have a huge impact on this team.
Yeah, by the way, the bench there, call them the bomb squad at this point because the U.S. went 13 of 30 from three-point range, which is 43%. But how about this? 2 of 2 for Durant, 2 of 3 for Bam Adebayo, Edwards 2 of 4, Halliburton 2 of 3, White 3 of 3, and Holiday 1 of 3. Everybody off the bench was firing three-point shots. Great to see. And also, if you say, okay, 43%, what did our guy Steph Curry do? How about an 0 for 6 from three-point range? So, yes, starters really didn't live up to the capabilities. But again, do you need that when you have basically 10 Hall of Famers out there on the court that can play at any given time?
Right.
It was a nice win for Team USA. They'll move on. Impressive. I like what I see because every once in a while, like we'll bring on the guest, or what have you seen so far? What were the expectations through the five friendly games and then through the first two here? I think this team is locked in, and every game they play, feeling more and more confident that you're not going to get that slip up where you get that text if you're not paying attention. Hey, turn the game on. Team USA is down six with 6 minutes to go. I feel real confident about this Team USA. I think they're really blending well and everybody's scoring. It's a pretty good team out there, and they should win gold fairly easily for me.
Absolutely so. Let's give some credit, though, to South Sudan. It's been a great story to qualify as one of the 12 nations in this Olympic pool. Luol Deng, of course, a longtime NBA player for a variety of franchises, has been the guy funding almost by himself South Sudanese men's basketball. Royal Ivy, with his NBA pedigree and experience, is the head coach. And there's some guys out there like Nuno Mott, who was the game-high leading scorer yesterday with 24 points for South Sudan, that could absolutely ball. They hit some threes at the end, DRS. Important to note from a handicapping perspective, point differential is a huge, huge component of qualifying for the quarterfinals. The Americans now into that knockout round with the victory yesterday over South Sudan. But you saw the urgency in the final minute and a half, 2 minutes, that put a total that seemed comfortably like it was going under in some danger. 191 and a hook. Still goes under, but by only 2.5 points. By the way, Serbia, 41-point win, 107-66 over Puerto Rico in the other of the two Group C games that we saw yesterday. The Americans remain a hefty favorite at minus 550 to win the Olympic gold medal. That would be five in a row for Team USA.
Yeah, and it's going to happen here. And also, we saw that number get as low as like minus 400 after some of those struggles in those international friendlies. Now you see USA at a minus 550 price. And you might be saying to yourself, why isn't that number getting shorter? Well, we already know Team USA is going to advance into the next round. But if it was, Ben, the best of three in the knockout stage, Team USA will be like a minus 1550 price at that point, because you're still banking on there's a chance the other team can just shoot the lights out. But I don't think it's going to happen. USA minus 550, still with me.
Yeah. Germany has looked really good, a perfect 2-0, and in dominant, impressive fashion. Plus 130 for the Germans to earn a medal at this point. More around the Olympic Games in Paris next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Elsewhere around the 33rd Olympiad in Paris yesterday, history in the pool. Let's start with Katie Ledecky, one medal away from becoming the most decorated United States female Olympian in the history of the Olympic Games and the United States. She now has 12 Olympic medals to her name, eight of them in the color of gold, in dominance once again in the 1500-meter freestyle final. A new Olympic record. She owned the previous Olympic record as well, but yesterday posting a 15:30.02, 15 minutes, 30 seconds, and of course, 200s of a second as well, as she basically lapped the field, as she always does, in the 1500-meter free. Her eighth gold medal, her 12th Olympic medal, and Donnie, as we shared at the start of the show, yesterday's Olympic record for Ledecky, her eighth personal best. She owns the 20 fastest times in the recorded world history of the 1500-meter free in women's swimming.
It's just incredible. And also, like, it's hard enough probably just to make the Olympic team and then just to get into the finals of the Olympics and then get lucky enough to place maybe in the medal round where you get a bronze, silver, or a gold medal. But to do it so many times and dominate that event. And also, like, credit to other sports. Like, if you want to be a great golfer, like, I used to always, back to my high school days, Didn't really love basketball practice because you had to play a lot of defense. Football practice, just putting on the pads, got you angry before you even got out there. But I did play golf. It was like, man, it's raining. I still want to go play golf. Like, the reason I bring that up is there's some things you can really have fun with in practice. Boy, what a life you have to be the life of a swimmer, to do, like, long distance. Like, what do you have to train to be a great 1,500-meter swimmer? I mean, are you just swimming for hours and hours and hours by yourself? It's got to be a terrible life there, but yet – somebody to dominate that sport for this long, and every time they show up on the big stage, seemingly getting better, absolutely phenomenal. Because I know, what are they waking up, Ben? 3-4 in the morning before they have to do anything. Just get in the pool, stretch. It's cold. Nobody's around. So for the swimmers out there, the long-distance swimmers, straight up shout out, man. What she did is absolutely incredible, because not only are you finally seeing the fruits of the labor, but just going through the pain of the practice, I can just imagine, for years and years and years going through that, that's phenomenal stuff, man. To have the fortitude to do that.
It really is, DRS, and she will be celebrated as the greatest to ever do it in women's swimming in history, as one of the greatest female Olympians, or just Olympians in general, in United States history as well. The camera view of having to go to the all 22 from the very top of the swimming arena in Paris, so you could show how drastically in front she is of everybody, is sensational. She won in the final by more than 10 seconds. That was part of the history last night. And then the young Frenchman, Léon Marchand, the other part of it. Two gold medals in the same night. The 200-meter butterfly, the 200-meter breaststroke. He becomes the first swimmer in Olympic history since 1976 to win two individual golds in the very same evening. He has done all of this at the age of 22. To call him a phenom is not exactly correct, because he's already doing it. He has won three gold medals already in this game. Over the weekend, he won the 400 individual medley as well. He has three gold medals. That is more than any other French man has ever won in the Olympics in the pool ever. And he's done it in 5 days, Donnie.
It's absolutely crazy. And also doing it in your home gym, as we like to say, where all that pressure is there. They're showing up to watch you win gold, and that's the only thing that's going to be acceptable. And for him also on the butterfly, making that turn, being behind, staying under the water all the way through, and then watching at the same time Tirico Mike Phelps in the background, where he's losing his mind, loving it, knowing exactly what is happening in the water, how tough that is to do. It was really great to watch. And also, when you hit that wall, you turn around, flip the goggles up, check the score when you won, and that place is thunderous in applause. That's got to be one of the coolest feelings you can ever have. I mean, the man's not going to buy a drink ever again in France for the rest of his life.
He pops out of the water in the breaststroke, as that swimming form is, and they cheer every time. Pure electricity, what you would want out of a host nation. Of course, Marchand trains with the same coach that Michael Phelps trained with, Bob Bowman, the former Arizona State Sun Devil, and Léon Marchand. The United States women, perfect in group action on the soccer pitch, taking care of Australia yesterday, 2-1. The Canadian women, of course, part of the circumstances and the drama leading up to the Olympiad because of the Spygate with the drone. They knock off Colombia yesterday 1-0 to advance to the knockout round. There's so much Olympic talk later in the show coming your way. But next to Major League Baseball here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just to tidy up some Olympic coverage from yesterday, Nadal Alcaraz, that being the Spanish duo of Rafael Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz, bounced by an American duo in tennis on the clay courts. Rajiv Ram and Austin Krajicek, I mean Friso, our tennis guy who literally puts in pronunciations for everything, giving us nothing is crazy there. Also another upset on the clay today at Roland Garros early on this Thursday morning. Iga Swiatek, who has won back-to-back French Opens at Roland Garros, had not lost on clay there in Paris since 2021. The -250 gold medal favorite to win the women's individual tennis gets bounced by Qinwen Zhang this morning, DRS. More upsets on the clay.
Yeah, how about that? Look, some players are going to win gold medals that we might not thought were going to win gold medals. I like to see that too, because, you know, same thing when you enter into a major championship, right? It's not a given that you're automatically going to win, and you're seeing some of those upsets. But yesterday, Nadal and Alcaraz, I did have that on in the background, and it was muted. And for me looking up each and every time, it looked like the crowd just booing Nadal and Alcaraz right off the court. Yeah. So if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like they were basically throwing trash and tomatoes on the court, like, get these bums out of here. And I agree.
I don't think it was that. I actually think they were very unhappy with the Americans for dominating that match and bouncing Rafa and Carlito. But, hey, that's how things go. Team USA in men's 3x3 basketball, 3-on-3 basketball. The struggles continue. They lost to Poland yesterday. Jimmer Fredette trying to lead the boys, but still a ton of group play action to be had. I know Donnie has a take on 3-on-3 Olympic basketball.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What are we actually doing here? Are we going to go 4-on-4 once we get to Los Angeles? How about 7-on-7 basketball? Let's just keep up in the ante. How about 1-on-1? That could be even more impressive. But if we are going to have 3-on-3 for basketball, can't we just at least send some guys that we think are actually going to win and not embarrass the United States? There's so many better players you can have than Jimmer Fredette. And by the way, who else is on this team? Because the only one I keep seeing in the updates is Jimmer Fredette. Are they actually named guys that we would know? Who is it? Who's on this team?
I think it's Canyon Berry, too, who is the son of Rick Berry, who used to play his college basketball at Florida. There's others there, too. I'm sure we could get that group. What we need is Robbie Hummel back, who's doing studio work for the Olympic Games right now, but is a world champion. Here's the gold medal count, the medal count overall. The Americans only 5 golds as of this morning, but more sure to come. 30 total medals in front of the host nation in France, who is performing very well in Paris. 26 total medals, second most, as you can see, the only other country with 20 plus. 8 golds for the French. DRS 3 summers ago at the Tokyo Games in 2021. France, in the entirety of that Olympiad, only 10 gold medals. They are well on pace to blow past that number on home soil.
Yeah, home cooking there. You got to like to see it. Showing up for the home crowd. I love it. You get that extra energy in the building, no doubt. But also, USA in the gold medals, I see, have 5. Is the U.S. on pace, I guess, at this point? Is that a low number to have only 5 so far? Like, I don't really know what the expectations were for Leicester, because I know once you get to track and field, that's really where the U.S. hits its stride. But I don't know if, like, we're behind right now, because I did know that, obviously, the favorites to win the most medals is Team USA, and they're doing that. But it does look a little bit low to have 5 when you see, like, France with 8, China with 9, Great Britain with 6, and Australia with 7. It does just look low to the eyes, eyeball test, but I didn't know if that was on pace or not at this point.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think we'll be fine. I believe the over-under was 41.5, so it would certainly seem as though we are below that pace. I don't think there's been any monumental upsets that the Americans were expected to run away with a gold medal and haven't. It wasn't like the Tokyo Games when the U.S. women's gymnastics team was supposed to be atop the podium and failed to do so. By the way, individual all-around final today. Suni Lee, Simone Biles, everybody going to be out there once again in all of the artistic gymnastic events. More from the 33rd Olympiad in Paris a little bit later on. Now we get to Major League Baseball. Full 15 games late on a Wednesday. 9 of those games in the afternoon hours, including the third and final of a 3-game set that we called a World Series preview ? Before the series got underway this week in Philadelphia. The Phils, though, not looking like a World Series contender these last 2 weeks. Now just 3-9 for Philly since the All-Star break, as the Yankees sweep the Phils with a 6-5 win yesterday. DJ LeMahieu responsible for all 6 New York runs, 6 RBIs, a grand slam in the second, a 2 RBI double in the sixth. So really, DJ LeMahieu 6, Phillies 5.
Yeah, a couple slugs there for the New York Yankees really showing up. You take a look at DJ LeMahieu, 6 RBI. I think that might equal his entire season in one game. The guy, even with a 6 RBI day, improves to 182 at the plate. He got all six of the runs batted in for yesterday for the Yankees. That's ridiculous. Jazz Chisholm coming out of nowhere, hitting like 230 on the season. Amazing in the series. And then when you have guys making $300-plus million on a contract like Bryce Harper going 0 for 5, I think he's like 1 for his last 30 at this point. You can't have that. Everybody's ice cold for the Philadelphia Phillies. Sooner or later, they're going to break out. But if you are going to win baseball games, you need guys to step up. Like the day before, it was a Hayes at the plate, knocking in a couple RBI. But they didn't win that game. But you're going to get DJ LeMay, yeah, who six RBI, hitting 182 on the season. You'll take that for the Yanks. That's a great win for them. Three straight games in Philadelphia, underdogs and winning. Boy, that should help them down the stretch here to get some confidence.
Five straight wins for New York, only a half game back of Baltimore for the top spot in the American League East. Philly still holds a 6.5 game advantage over Atlanta, but at this time last week, it was about 9 games or so. The Phils, again, just 3-9 since the All-Star break. They also lost their last set before the break. They have dropped 5 consecutive series. That's the great thing about DJ LeMahieu. 6 RBIs yesterday, a grand slam and a 2-run RBI double, and still batting just 182. The Yankees booked as a dog in all three games in this series sweep over Philadelphia in Philly. The Yankees, the best underdog team in Major League Baseball by a long shot. 17-6 in the 23 games booked as a dog this year. Meanwhile, when the Dodgers are booked as an underdog, there's a reason. The Dodgers now 4-9 in the 13 games as a dog, the fewest amount in all of MLB, but a bad record. As San Diego continues to stay hot in this Southern California rivalry, the Padres have now won 9 of their last 10 games with an 8-1 victory as a -130 home moneyline favorite yesterday against Los Angeles.
Yeah, sometimes teams make you look good with the handicaps that you have. I teased it quite a bit yesterday on the early line, like, hey, watch out. Padres might be in for a game that night. And then, of course, later in the show, breaking it down. Dylan Cease has been really good so far in the season. You take a look at him now, 11-8 overall. So the record doesn't show, but 5 2/3 innings pitch, 1 earned run. That's good enough to get the job done. And the question marks now are going to come up on Clayton Kershaw. You don't get a strikeout, I get it. That's usually the read on if a pitcher has his stuff. But 3 2/3 innings pitch, 7 runs. I understand only 3 of those earned at this point, but you were hoping that Kershaw could help you down the stretch. We even talked about it over the past couple weeks. It's not so much Kershaw being there for the playoffs as one of your top 2 or 3 pitchers, but it's Kershaw helping you bend down the stretch, eat up some innings, get you some quality starts, and let that talented lineup take over. You didn't even have a chance yesterday. 8-1 Padres. I expected a win for the Padres by 7 runs. Not necessarily, but that's a big time win for the Pods, who continue to play really good baseball.
Jurickson Profar, a couple of RBIs, and Dylan Cease, great once again. Clayton Kershaw, 4 innings of work in his debut this season last week. Only 72 pitches, but gave up 2 earned and did strike out 6 yesterday. 0 strikeouts in 423 consecutive regular season starts in his career, dating back to his rookie season in 2008. With Los Angeles. He had recorded at least 1 strikeout, the longest streak since the mound was moved back in Major League Baseball, comes to a close. More about Cease and San Diego and elsewhere around the major leagues coming up next, live right here on the Early Line on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A great win for the San Diego Padres yesterday at home against their rivals from SoCal in the Dodgers. 8-1 for San Diego. 9 of the last 10. The Padres have been victorious. The Dodgers got off to a great start following the All-Star break, a break where they entered Arlington and all the All-Star festivities, losing 8 of their last 11. They started by winning 5 straight, 6 of their first 7. Now they have dropped 4 of their last 5. Donnie, I'm not sure if you've updated the National League West standings as of late, but the Dodgers, who were booked as a -6,000 favorite to win the divisional crown for an 11th time in the last 12 years, they were a hefty favorite entering. They had a double-digit game lead earlier this year. Now only 4.5 games in front of San Diego, just 5 games in front of Arizona, as the Diamondbacks keep winning as well.
Yeah, this is what's crazy. When you're struggling a little bit, what do you hope? The guys behind you aren't playing good baseball. Take a 10-game sample size. 5-5 for the Dodgers. Padres, 9-1. The Diamondbacks, 7-3. Even take a look at the Giants, 6-4. Now, the Giants are 9.5 games back. They're probably going to be obsolete. But you get the point here. Now you have teams with 60-plus days left in the season, 4 or 5 games back. They're feeling good about their chances. Now, also, it's still hard to overcome a 5-game lead to jump a team like the Dodgers when you know they got help on the way with Flaherty. It's going to be a starting pitcher. Freddie Freeman will be back in that lineup. And Mookie Betts, we're not going to have any panic mode. Same thing with the Philadelphia Phillies. Sooner or later, you'll bust out here. But this is what happens on the ebbs and the flows of a Major League Baseball season and how long it is. You're not always going to play your best baseball, but when you're not playing your best baseball, you hope the teams behind you aren't playing their best baseball, which apparently a couple of those teams are. Maybe we get a nice little close to the season where the Dodgers, now keep in mind this too, Ben, when you start like thinking out loud, this is sometimes a good thing. Let's just say the Phillies ran away with that division in the East and we're still playing great baseball and they're up 14.5 games. You lose that edge over the final 2 and 3 weeks of the season where you have it locked up, you're trying to set up your pitching rotations, and just the human psychology of showing up to the ballpark knowing that I just can't wait for the playoffs here. Maybe I can turn it on. This might be a sneaky good thing for the Dodgers if this stays around 3.5 to 5.5 games all the way through, because it keeps the pencils sharp there down the stretch. So even though they're struggling right now, sneaky Ben, this might be a good thing for the Dodgers.
An interesting silver lining, I shall say. Dylan Cease in his first start since throwing a no-hitter last week. This four-start run that he is on, incredible. 5 2/3 yesterday, a single earned run allowed against one of the most potent offenses in all of the NL. Just 3 hits and 6 strikeouts. He entered, including the no-hitter last week, with 3 consecutive starts of 22 innings of work. 2 hits only, not a single earned run given up, and 30 strikeouts. Dylan Cease is absolutely flying right now. Series finale yesterday at Citi Field in New York. The Mets looking for a sweep over the Twins. Minnesota had other ideas. A solid outing out of Pablo Lopez. Minnesota was booked as a very slight road favorite up in Queens. They avoid the sweep with an 8-3 victory. Now the Mets still 17-10 in the month of July, but Minnesota does avoid the sweep.
Yeah, we gave you the goods yesterday. It's the two different teams that you take a look at here, particularly over the past month here for the Minnesota Twins. Line them up against a lefty, they're going to struggle. Line them up against a righty, they're going to be just fine. They scored 8 runs yesterday, 10 total hits. The better pitcher on the mound was for the Minnesota Twins. You got a pretty good price on that one, so if you cashed in, that was a good look. Because I know sometimes you look and say, I just don't want to go against the hot team, which technically was the New York Mets. But the right side yesterday was the Minnesota Twins, and they handled their business.
Yeah, that absolutely was the case. The Mets still have won 7 of their last 10 games. July is over. Final 2 months of the regular season, August and September, now on the docket. Rubber match yesterday in Milwaukee between the Braves and the Brewers. The Braves looking for a series win. They got that. 6-2 as a road favorite with the National League Cy Young frontrunner Chris Sale on the bump. Atlanta takes the final 2 games of the set. Sale 5 2/3. 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, did record the victory as Atlanta wins 6-2.
Sneaks over the total at that point, and you say to yourself, you know, which way would you rather bet? The Atlanta Braves with Chris Sale on the mound, which you knew were going to be a heavy public favorite yesterday, and rightfully so. He pitched well in that game. Was it a dominant Cy Young award-winning performance? No, but 5 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs here, that's enough to get the job done. That's all the Braves needed. The one thing we do know is the Braves have a decent pitching staff and a good bullpen. If they're going to score 5 to 6 runs, they're going to be a tough team to beat. It's a solid win by the Braves, which we thought was going to take place yesterday. Just thought maybe a little bit less runs. I mean, what? We were 2-2 heading into the 7th inning. So we were on our way to an under, but a couple runs late there. Braves push them over, pick up that big win over Milwaukee, and close that gap on the Philadelphia Phillies.
Chris Sale did not record the win, my apologies, but did have Atlanta in a good spot. Matt Olson and Travis d'Arnaud both hit a home run in the 4th and the 8th inning. So each player hitting multiple home runs in the game in the same inning. That was the difference for the Braves. But a solid outing out of Chris Sale nonetheless. In his odds to win the National League Cy Young Award, ever improving. -110. Mm-hmm. The gap in front of Paul Skenes and Zach Wheeler grows a little bit for the lefty for Atlanta.
It's right. I think it sits perfectly. Sale should be there as long as he doesn't falter. It's almost like, what have you done for me lately? As long as you're going to have quality starts or better out of Chris Sale, he's going to win that Cy Young. But if he does slip up like we saw Zach Wheeler slip up and Skeens continues to pitch, Skeens will close that gap as well. This is a pretty fun Cy Young award to watch down the stretch because the expectations is all three pitchers are supposed to be really, really good down the stretch.
Zach Gallen was in contention for a National League Cy Young Award last year, the ace in Arizona. Not the case this year, but he's won three consecutive starts. He's now 9-5 with a 3.56 ERA. And the D-backs get a sweep over the Washington Nationals, 5-4, the final. Arizona, a minus 188 money line favorite. They get the sweep. The first two games, Donnie, including game two in which Arizona won 17-0, featured 17 total runs. It went over yesterday, but just barely over 7.5. The Nats rallied late, had the bases loaded, down by a single run in the ninth, unable to push across what would have been the tying or game-winning runs.
Yeah, left 11 guys on base for the Nationals, 2 of 12 there with runners in scoring position. You get a couple more base hits, you win that game. But good teams win against bad teams. That's just what you're supposed to do. The Diamondbacks, this is the team that we've been waiting for since watching last year making that World Series run.
The Diamondbacks, the reigning National League pennant winners, a great month of July. 17-8, victorious in 7 of their final 8. More on the final day of July in MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More Major League Baseball recaps from the final day of July, live right here on the first day of August. It's a Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. The Reds looking for a sweep yesterday in Cincinnati over the Cubs. Chicago had other ideas. The bats waking up for the Cubbies. 17 hits, 13 runs scored. The Cubbies avoid the sweep in Cincinnati against the Reds. They do end July with a winning record, now 13-12 for Chicago. What is so fascinating about this game even being involved between the two bottom teams that are well below 500 in the National League Central is what exactly is the Cubs' perspective in the final 2 months of this regular season?
Yeah, that's the question mark at this point. Like, sellers and buyers at the deadline, not a lot of good vibes around there. Can they make a run? Can't they make a run? You sort of get both of those. You know, are you waving the white flag or are you going for it some point at this? I don't think it's going to work out in their favor, put it that way. But that's a nice win yesterday, 13-4. But the bigger story there for me is Ellie De La Cruz. I think I'm 0 for like 99 on betting Ellie De La Cruz. I loved him yesterday to score a run. Everything made sense yesterday. High weighted on base percentage for De La Cruz, which means he gets on. And then you had Steer, Friedel, Stevenson, all behind him with high ISO power numbers. And you know he loves to steal bases. He doubled yesterday. I'm like, oh, this should be good with one out. He gets thrown out trying to steal third with two outs yesterday, which is like the cardinal sin of baseball. Don't make that third out of third base on the base pass. Wait for them to knock you in. And the next inning, I believe that the Reds did score three runs, which if you let it play out, probably would have knocked him in. So just another day, another dollar lost on Ellie De La Cruz, but a nice win for the Chicago Cubs. And today on the mound, I think the Cubbies win again, even with Sonny Gray. I think St. Louis, is Sonny Gray on the mound today? I believe Sonny Gray's on the mound today going up against them. So we'll check into that game later. Yes. But 13-4, easy win today. Easy win yesterday for those Cubbies.
Only five games on the Thursday Major League Baseball slate, including that one back at Wrigley between the Cubs and the Cardinals. An ace affair, Shota Imanaga, gets the start on the other side for the Cubs. The newest Chicago Cub, Isak Paredes, 2-for-4 at the dish yesterday, getting involved in the offense. Three runs scored. The Houston Astros looking to avoid a sweep at home this midweek set against the Pittsburgh Pirates, were booked as a heavy favorite to do exactly that. Minus 220, Framber Valdez on the bump. He does record the victory, his 10th of this year, 10-5 with a 3.56 ERA, but allowed four earned runs, but stayed resilient, stayed in the game, worked through the sixth inning, and did strike out 10 as Mauricio Dubon in the sixth inning. The Astros down by a run. He hits a two-run shot. The game-winning runs. Houston avoids the sweep with a 5-4 victory.
Yeah, handicapping this game yesterday. I'm like, hey, Valdez, the much better pitcher on the mound. And look at this. The Pittsburgh Pirates can't hit left-handed pitching all that well. Look like an idiot after two innings. Should I say the top of the second inning, 4-0 for Pittsburgh. That's a good comeback by the Houston Astros. A little bit shaky there because probably a lot of people had the Astros in parlay pieces yesterday. Come on, 4-0. Nice comeback. 5 unanswered, pick up the W, and still staying in that race out there in the AL West. Maybe the Astros are the team to beat out there.
The Stros did avoid the sweep. They entered the finale on a 3-game skid and dropping 6 of their last 9. Of course, it was Houston getting back into position in postseason contention and for that divisional crown in the American League West, off to a great start in July, an 8-3 record. Struggled, but a victory on its final day. So now tied atop the AL West once again alongside the Seattle Mariners in a low-scoring game finally in Fenway. A total of 9.5 stays under even in extra innings. Rafael Devers, an RBI game winner to walk it off for Boston in that 10th inning. Off the Green Monster, the Red Sox take the finale and the rubber match against Seattle with that 3-2 victory.
Oh, this is going to be painful for the Seattle Mariners. You scored 2 runs yesterday. Kirby gave you what you needed, a solid start, 5 1/3 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. He's been one of the better pitchers in baseball over the past 30 to 60 days, XFIP-wise. Bello gave you a great start here at 6 1/3 and 2 earned runs here for the Boston Red Sox. But sometimes you just look at opportunities here. If you say, hey, we lost a game by 1 run, what did you do with runners in scoring position, Seattle? 1 of 14. Put the ball in play. A couple ground balls. A base hit here or there. You win that game. Seattle blew that, but also, sometimes you have to take into all you need is opportunities. Some people look at that 3-2 game like, I can't ever bet the Mariners again. But you have to look at the optics of it. 14 runners in scoring position. Sooner or later, they're going to cash in. As long as you're getting opportunities, those runs will come through. We'll see if the Mariners have. Just weren't able to do that yesterday.
Seattle just 10-14 in July. The Cardinals hammering the Rangers to take the rubber match and the set against Texas yesterday. 10-1. Tommy Pham back in St. Louis. 2 RBI double after hitting a grand slam the day prior. So the Astros and Mariners tied atop the American League West. Houston an odds-on favorite to win the division. Hour 2 up next.